KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, ESPN 97.5.
That's what we call ourselves, sort of like a team.
A Gao Media Station. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
What up, H-Town? It's a Thursday, and the sun is shining. The roller coaster of temperatures has us in the low 50s. It's very pleasant out there, and hopefully you're ready to have a pleasant afternoon with Barry Laminack, myself, and Nick Sciarra here. 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock on ESPN 97.5, and we've got a full show lined up for you today. It is Thursday. That means at 2:30, Mark Flood, our resident fantasy football expert, is going to get you ready for the playoffs and also talk about a little bit of gaming, as he is from thegamerwall.com.
Yes!
And we do know that Mafia 3 is next to me, so he will get into all that and
Actually,
more.
Actually, I'm done with Mafia 3. I finished it. I'm back on The Witcher because I haven't finished that yet. So
you can finish video games?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You get through all the plots. And then, I mean, if it's like an open world game, you can run around and, like, you know, punch women and drive cars, which is weird.
Oh, so you're going
punch
to Florida Atlantic.
Right? Like, Grand Theft Auto, that's all there is.
No.
Is like you run around punching.
You missed my joke there.
But not women. It's
you said you could punch women. I said, well, then you can go to Florida Atlantic and play quarterback.
There you go.
You're done.
That's a good one. I did miss that. I apologize. But, like, that's all Grand Theft Auto is like, you punch whores and you drive cars, and that's the whole game. That's it. Like, I don't understand. That's why I don't play it.
I could barely complete one mission on Grand Theft Auto. So
essentially, it's like the Fast and the Furious video game edition.
Pretty much. It's pretty boring. But, like, with Mafia, yeah, there was a whole plot, and then you're done. And so, like, with The Witcher, there's a plot, but it's, like, it won't end. So at least
I
have that.
I'm more into online gaming, so I would never.
Oh, see, I can't do the online.
I would never finish a game.
Do you guys? Do you buy the game?
Yeah.
Or do you do there's ways you can rent them, right? Like Netflix.
Yeah. Sure. You can get Redbox. But I didn't buy Mafia 3.
No, I know you didn't. That's what I was going to say. Someone tell John we need a couple extra sponsors with new games for Barry.
Oh God, that would be great.
Oh, here we go again. All I got to do, I'm going to throw it out there again. All you got to do.
Dude,
mention it in Twitter.
I've totally given up. This sales team.
No, mention it in Twitter. Forget the sales team. Just mention.
Dude, I hear the janitor has like commercials on this station. I'm literally Trapping me are literally the only dudes
that new 3-in-1. That new 3-in-1 scrub brush that he uses in the bathroom. It's like the signature model comes out the first of the year.
Like,
dude is killing it.
This clean radio segment is brought to you by Tidy Bowl, and it's read by the janitor. I'm like, really?
There's a reason why I call Raheel the whore, the marketing whore, because he's like manure. He's all over the place, spread out.
Yeah, well, I've given up on trying to get Reed. So,
what I'm telling you is
the free game is probably all I'll ever see in my radio career.
But get to Twitter, I'm exhausted from Mafia 3. I've done enough. I don't know which way to turn, and then tag like all the different gaming companies. I guarantee you, you'll get like a box full of stuff.
Yeah, you were right about Smash Burger.
Yeah. Maybe Smash Burger, yeah. But video games, that's a hot item.
But when they look and see that Barry is a media personality with a radio show that is looking for this, I guarantee they will start sending him stuff.
But then I feel like I'm begging. That's why I don't usually ask. Like I joke around about needing a mattress.
Yeah,
and a
I don't
gun
mind
and all
doing
that.
It if he's
if
he's
you
that
only
confident.
Do it once, you're not begging.
I'll beg.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you're suggesting.
Games. I don't want to feel like needy or like I'm greedy.
Right. But if you do it once,
I hear what you're saying.
If you do it once, you're suggesting. If you do it multiple times, then you're begging.
Right.
That's when you become a whore.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, I don't want to be that.
No, Raheel's got that covered. So we've got a full day. Mark Flood, 2:30. Fantasy football playoffs going on and gaming things. So if you have questions for Mark, get them ready. Coach Kevin McHale joins us straight up 2 o'clock. So we'll get to the coach. He's had some pretty, shall we say...
Oh, is he doing today? I thought he was doing Friday.
No, he's doing today.
Oh, fantastic.
So we're going to have some edginess from Coach McHale as he talks about resting the big three and other topics. If you want to hit us up on Twitter and get us some questions, we'll consider them. And then Nick has brought to the table Eric Edholm. Yahoo Sports NFL writer, writer for the Shutdown Corner. So we'll get a national perspective on your football questions, including your Houston Texans and your Brock of Ages, as well as anything else you might have on your mind NFL-wise. So plenty to get to, lots of guests, and of course, it also goes without saying you are a part of the show each and every day. So if you want to join in, 713-780-ESPN on the phones or via text. And of course, if you want to get on Twitter, then you can hit us up at Barry is Funny, at No Hit Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. And we would like to probably keep it from being racist.
Yeah, there's one person I know for sure whose text won't get read. So there you go.
And his tweets probably are done too. And now, Jefe, we're not talking about you. Your grace period is over. You're back. So just don't blow it.
Yeah.
So we've got all that going for us. Like I said, three guests, including the coach. Rockets win their eighth in a row. So we can talk about the Rockets. That's for sure. Todd Orlando, who was not available to the media yesterday after the hiring of Major Applewhite, back with U of H and available supposedly today. So we'll see what he has to say. It's going to be real interesting to see if he stays with the Cougs or if he moves on and heads up to Austin with Tom Herman.
Oh, he's moving on.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
I mean, the assistant coaching pool money alone says, and by the way, if Major Applewhite's only making 1.3 to 1.5, pretty sure Todd Orlando's going to make about the same thing or close to be the D coordinator for the Longhorns.
Yeah, and when you have your hat in the ring for the job and you don't get it, do you really want to stick around and look at Major Applewhite every day as your boss?
But interesting question that you say that, right?
Yeah.
So when the Rockets hired Kevin McHale, the runner-up was Kelvin Sampson. The Rockets picked almost all of the assistant coaches except for one, which Kevin McHale brought with him, which was J.B. Bickerstaff.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rockets brought in Kelvin Sampson.
And where is he now?
The head coach of the University of Houston.
Yeah, he left.
No, he didn't leave. Well, I mean, he did, but he didn't. Yeah. There's a story there. Oh. But at the same time,
well, tell the story.
Eventually I will. But here's the thing. Think about that. How uncomfortable would that be?
Yeah, that would be
weird. You're up for a job with a guy. You get the job. He doesn't. But, oh, by the way, we're going to give him a job underneath you on your staff, and you have to trust him.
Awkward.
To say the least.
Yeah, if you don't get to pick your whole staff, I could see where that would be awkward. But at the same time, I mean, if the organization had that much faith in him, it's a hat tip to how close maybe it was, right, that he almost got the job. Who knows? But I don't know in this case. I think that when it was first announced and there was speculation that Herman was leaving, I think Orlando was considered to be the front runner.
Certain circles, they say he's one of the hot assistants in the country.
Yeah, but and from at least within the organization as well. But who knows? I mean, I know it would be super awkward.
You think so? I mean, these guys were on a parallel level under Herman, and I gotta believe that there would be a discussion, like even if you made him associate head coach. But I would think that would be easier than taking a guy that you interviewed against and putting him on your staff.
I don't know.
Really?
Yeah. If it was me, well, I mean, it would be awkward. I know it would be awkward.
I don't think, because the fans have to realize, as much as you say the team has to come together, like the Rockets are, unlike last year with the splinters in the locker room with Dwight and James, the Rockets have come together as a unit, and that's so important. The coaching staff has to do the same thing. To me, and I've talked to several assistant coaches who said the same thing, it's so weird to have the organization try and pick a certain handful of however many assistants you have and then say you all have to be on the same page, you have to trust each other, and you all have to be in the same foxhole. You know every single day they're looking across their desks going, you're a Daryl Morey guy, I'm a Kevin McHale guy, or a Mike D'Antoni guy. That's just not going to fly.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you're picking sides, it's never
good. No. When you're put in that predicament. Yeah. Yep.
So that'll be interesting to see, because I think the ideal scenario for recruits and everything is Todd Orlando stays and stays on Major Applewhite's staff, and maybe Tillman uses a lot of the money they saved, if it's true what they're paying Major, that they can use some of it to try and keep Todd Orlando around. But I guess I tend to agree with you. The money bags are going to be opened in Austin.
Well, who would you rather work for? I mean, if you go to UT with a guy who's considered to be the hottest coaching prospect in the nation, and you excel and UT does well and you're the DC there,
you're gonna guess
who's the new hot
quicker.
Prospect yeah, to get point. A head coaching job, as opposed to staying at U of H, not even in a Power Five, with a guy who's never had a head coaching job, and you lost the job to him.
And we don't even have a dry erase board, because that's just a starter set. Because what you could then go to is Power 5 conference versus not.
Yeah,
100,000-seat stadium versus 40.
Recruiting, yeah, everything.
Practice yeah. facilities, the works. The Nike deal, you know, is 10 times bigger. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot that says...
Pot's legal in Austin? I don't know if that's a thing. That just seems like
I don't think that's true.
That just seems like...
Whether it's true or not, it basically is.
It is plenty. That is for sure. It is. Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of weed in Houston, let's be real.
Yeah.
Okay. For sure. Somebody texted in, when our country was founded, the vice president was the guy who got second place in the election. Talk about awkward. Yeah.
Yep.
That's what I mean. Like, this is pretty much the same thing. I don't know. Yeah. And I don't know that Major would want him around. Would you? Would you want a guy around that you both were competing, and now you were both coordinators under the same guy, and now... You know what I mean? Like,
so
would be weird on both
sides.
To
me, it all comes down to how they got along under Herman. If they got along in all the meetings and they had a friendship, or they developed a good relationship, then I would say, you know what? Yes, because it would be essential. If I'm the head coach, I want him to still be around because he had a hell of a defense and he's got guys like Ed Oliver coming back that he knows how to coach up and they have a relationship. And then that also translates to getting those recruits to stay, because that's going to be such a huge challenge for them to keep the recruits they had that were under Herman. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But, yeah, that's the way I guess I would answer that. If I had a good relationship with the guy and I knew what it meant to the program, yeah, I'd want him to stick around. But, you know, if there was, like you said, if there was direct competition, if you felt like, hey, it's me against you mano a mano and you win, then, yeah, maybe it'll be different.
Sure.
So, well, it's interesting. We'll see it. We got a full show lined up. So, like I said, Mark Flood, Kevin McHale, Eric Edholm of Shutdown Corner and Yahoo Sports all will be a part of the show today. We want you to be a part of it, too. 713-780-ESPN or hit us up on Twitter. I also want to tell you that it's the holiday season, as we all know, and Christmas is right around the corner. No better place to get it done for Christmas and take care of yourself as well as your family, Gallery Furniture. It's the very best Christmas present you can give to yourself and your family. It's a good night's sleep. For a limited time, you buy a Macapedic mattress for $19.99 or more, and you automatically get an $800 Gallery Furniture gift card free. So essentially, take $800 off the top of that $19.99. Heck of a deal. Gallery Furniture, the best sales with the biggest selection. Holiday super sale up and going, so they're going to stay open until 10 o'clock tonight. You save on Made in America solid wood furniture, two for one recliners, and of course, those Macapedic sleep sets. I'm telling you right now, you can enhance your whole home because Mac has solid wood dining room tables and all kinds of American-made quality furniture all inside the three locations of Gallery Furniture. Whether you hit the one up in Post Oak, you hit the one up on Grand Parkway in 99, or you hit the one up at the original location, I-45 North at Tidwell Parker exit, you know you're going to get the best service, the best sale, and also get the best service after the sale. It's Gallery Furniture, largest selection of Made in America leather seating and special order upholstered furniture for your man cave or your home theater as well. Buy today, get it tonight. Gallery really will save you money.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, it's Joel, Barry, and Nick till 4 o'clock with a full show, a slate that includes Eric Edholm of Yahoo Sports, Kevin McHale, the ex-Rockets coach who is in the Bay Area. I believe he's doing a Warriors game tonight. We'll check in with him and get some normally very entertaining segment comments out of him in that segment. And then, of course, our fantasy football expert, Mark Flood, from thegamerwall.com at 2:30. We're getting messages that Todd Orlando is a done deal to Austin, but I'm trying to verify those sources. So,
yeah, you got to
for what it's worth, that's out there.
Oh.
But we'll see. So that's been mentioned. How about the Rockets, by the way? I mean, look, I know this city doesn't really want to talk basketball until...
I disagree.
I hope that's true.
I think they do. It's like, I think there's assumptions that are made that this town doesn't want to talk about any other sport but football. But when the Rockets are playing like they're playing, I think that you see sports fans specifically. Now, maybe your casual sports guy driving around or, you know, whatever, hops in the car. They don't know enough about the Rockets other than James Harden.
Right.
They may get bored. But I think most sports fans, most dedicated sports fans that listen to sports talk radio would love to talk about the Rockets.
I hope so.
And
because
they should.
For the most part, and all the years I've listened to sports radio in this town, most people say basketball is dead to the Houston community from an NBA perspective till after football's over, and that they completely could care less about college basketball at all. By the way, I hate that Toyota commercial.
You literally sound like you just read my diary. Like, that's exactly what I say.
Is that right?
I couldn't care less about college basketball.
I hate that Toyota
basketball.
Commercial. But you could care less, you couldn't
I
care
couldn't
less.
Care
I'd
less.
Like to hit the off button every time.
But no, I'm normally not a basketball guy until January. But this
but
year.
And you don't care about college
but,
basketball?
I mean, being on the show three days a week, plus Sundays. And
right.
I need to keep up with
but
it.
But legit, do you care about college basketball?
No.
See, and that's the thing.
Not
but I
bit.
Guess it's a bonus for guys like me that do. I can tell you from the from 23 years in the city, I love the fact that between Rice and U of H, they'll get a top 5 or a top 25 opponent where I want to really see like how good a kid is. Last year, Ben Simmons coming in with LSU to U of H. They only got like 7,000 people. I can go buy a general admission ticket. I can probably get in the first 10 rows, and I can see top-notch talent up close. I used to go to Rice games when they used to play Connecticut every year when they had really good teams, or Utah when they had Keith Van Horn, Michael Doliak, Andre Miller, guys like that, and it was like,
God,
man, no one
Michael
cared.
Michael Doliak.
Yeah. Wow. He played high school ball in Portland when I was working for the Blazers, too. So there was guys I wanted to see, and I was like, man, this is so easy. If I was in... Even Portland, or if I was in Milwaukee and between Marquette and Badger games, sold out if it was a big-time opponent. So it's different. But, I mean, it is what it is. It's just a shame. It's like we talked about with baseball, too. I think a lot of people aren't baseball fans. They're Astros fans. And if the Astros are relevant, we'll dial into baseball. But it's definitely not like you and me and Shock and even Travis. Travis surprises me. But he's a huge baseball guy. But we are the minority when it comes to those kind of things, because I'd follow baseball and I'd follow college basketball even if I didn't do this for a living. But you're right. I mean, I do it more because of it. But I'm shocked. I look at, from a talk radio perspective, I just judge it by how many calls we get and how many reactions we get to the Rockets. Now, there's a pocket that I have and a lot of followers that carried over with me from when I was with the Rockets that even on game nights, we go back and forth, and it's almost like a chat room. But I just don't see as much as I thought I would in terms of pro basketball love until after January.
Okay. I know, like, on just judging by my friends, I have a ton of hardcore Rockets fans.
Now,
don't get me wrong. There are way more Texans fans throughout, and I'm, you know, like on Facebook. But, yeah, I've got several friends of mine that are just – they just sleep, eat, and breathe Rockets. That's it. That's all they do. So it's good. I think if you were to rank this town – it would probably be football, then basketball, and then baseball. And I only say that because it's a football town. We all know that. That's obvious. But the fact that the Rockets have brought this town two championships, I think they're always going to have that second place sewed up. Now, if the Astros win a championship this year or next, all bets
are
off.
Be different.
This might become a baseball town, and we could be talking about baseball during the hot stove. Unlike, you know, we hardly do this year. I mean, unless they sign somebody, but we don't spend segments on rumors, which would be great, but we don't.
We could.
Yeah.
I can now. I love that part of it. I can talk about all kinds of rumors. But, you know, the funny thing is Jason Hebert just sent us a picture. He took his son to the game last night, and my running joke with people is the arena looked like everybody was dressed as empty seats. And if you thought that the Nets game was bad the other night, last night was worse, and it's just, it's crazy. That's kind of where I get it, where people just aren't showing
Wednesday.
A lot of love for a team that's won now 8 in a row.
I didn't realize that they don't open the doors till an hour,
hour and
before
a half.
The game. No, it was an hour.
It's got to be an hour and a half.
I was there. I'm telling you, it was an hour.
Really?
Yeah, it was an hour. It was. They didn't
I thought
open,
it used to be like 2 hours on weekends and an hour and a half during the week, I thought.
Yeah, because I asked one of the ushers, and they were like, yeah, it's going to be 6 o'clock. And then I'm like, well, it's 6:05, and there's not a single soul in here.
You know? Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I mean, yeah, because, look, I know it's a pet peeve of the organization, and I know that they think that the staff is supposed to be able to fix it. I just don't know how you fix it, because you can't. It's like an airline ticket. Once the person buys the ticket, you can't tell them when to show up and where they have to sit, you know, waiting for the flight. And then, you know, if they want to switch their seats, they can do that online. You can't do what they want you to do, which is these people aren't puppets. And so there's so many amenities, and most people are using the tickets for business or entertainment purposes.
Yeah.
And because there's 3 clubs and a 4-star restaurant and all the different things they can do, you can't – it's not Oklahoma City. You can't get them to say a prayer in the arena 3 minutes before intros and then keep them there until halftime and then ring a bell and know that they will be in their seats to start the third quarter. It's just not – that's dream world.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And by the way, I did want to throw this out. Nick, I don't know if you saw this. I tweeted this last night, but – this is for your boy, for both of you, that grew up listening to him, that it may be time. Bill Worrell last night in the fourth quarter, Syracuse star, right, comes out early, Malachi Richardson checks in the fourth quarter, and Bill Worrell promptly says, Malachi Richardson with a rebound. And I went, Malachi? I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Wow. So we got that going for us, too. But again, to Bill's... I should say to his challenges, they did move TV up where we were for radio for years. And as you get older, that sight line, even if your glasses are strong, you're starting to call a game off a monitor, then you might as well sit in your living room. So we can talk about
it. He was bitching about the monitors last night.
He bitches about everything. I heard him bitch about the monitors.
Hey, all right. I don't blame you, though.
He's pulling the old Gene Peterson, too, where he's like, he'll call a guy the wrong name, and then Bullard will correct him. I mean, I go back to... when we first moved radio up there, and Gino would be Malone to Stockton. Stockton shoots from 15. Good. And Foley comes flying in going, that was Matt Harpering, Gene. It wasn't John Stockton. You're like, yeah, Gene can't see that from there. And now Bill Worrell's doing the same thing. So broadcasters go up. Seats go up. Locations go down.
Hey, real quick, Chris Davis said Houston franchises in order: Rockets, Astros, Texans. So I'd be curious what other people think.
Chris is a big Rockets fan.
Yeah, but what are your three? Like, how do you rank them?
I'd
be curious.
Yeah, rate
your what people think.
And okay, if you want to throw the Dynamo in there, please feel free.
No, stop it.
Okay, rate your today will be that will be our poll question. Thanks to Barry's Funny, we want to know: rate your Houston sports teams 1 through 3: Rockets, Astros, Texans. It's Barry. It's Nick, it's Joel, till 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, along with Quick Nick Behind the Glass till 4 p.m., and it's time for Who's Behind Door Number 1, as we have a plethora of guests on the show today. And thanks to my man Quick Nick, we are now joined by Eric Edholm, Yahoo Sports NFL writer and writer for the Shutdown Corner. As we always like to do, we like to give you a national perspective on your local teams and also throw in a lot of other questions about the NFL, because seemingly, the way our poll is going early on Twitter, it is a football town. So, Eric, without further ado, welcome to the show. You've got Joel, you've got Barry. Thanks so much for joining us, and how's everything going?
Everything's good, yeah. We're hitting the home stretch here. You know, everybody starts wearing down this time of the season. Scrub writers such as myself. But, pretty soon here the games will really matter.
Don't sell yourself short, Eric. We do that to ourselves on a regular basis around here.
Good. Okay.
Want to get to you right away, and of course the first question with people around here is just the basic overview of the Houston Texans. You say it's kind of wearing down for some people. It seems like the quarterback has never got it geared up. He is obviously the biggest subject of scrutiny in this town, and yet the team is tied for first place. Just kind of your overall thoughts on the Houston Texans.
Yeah, obviously, I think you start with Brock Osweiler because, the eye-popping numbers when the contract was signed. Of course, then we peel back and find out, okay, it may not be quite worth that much. But still, the expectations were high. And when he started struggling early in the season, people started wondering, okay, did Bill O'Brien sign off on this quarterback before they signed him? It was such a quick process. He was a Texan before him, but, people blinked. And are they going to be able to work it out? Are they going to work together well? And I guess you see some little small signs of improvement, and then you see a step backwards. So it's a process. It's not some, overnight thing, but I can understand why people feel like there is a real limitation with this team he's played. And, I don't think that their defense is in the same caliber as, say, Kansas City Chiefs, to where you can kind of overlook, limitations of that quarterback position and feel like there's a good, a team that can make a long run here.
Eric, a lot of talk about Brock Osweiler and the ineptness of the passing offense here. Give us your thoughts on the coaching staff, specifically Bill O'Brien. There's always talk, 9-7, 9-7. They're struggling again this year. They might make 9-7. What is your thoughts on kind of the national view of the coaching staff of these Texans?
Yeah, that's a good question. Is he going to become like the anti-Jeff Fisher? Jeff Fisher, the 7-9 guy. Bill O'Brien, the 9-7 guy. I guess that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to be known as, but I can understand why people are starting to sort of go down that road. But, it's tough, obviously, and I think if you ask people around the league, there's a lot of respect for George Godsey and Bill O'Brien, and, obviously the Patriots' ties with Izzo and Cornell and all those guys. And so I do think there's a lot of respect on this coaching staff in general. Could they be doing more to make Osweiler's life easier? I don't know. That's hard for me to say. It's not like I watch them and think, oh, boy, they're getting too cute, or this thing is just so overly complex, they're putting too much on his plate. I really don't know that. That's really too hard for me to say. But I can say that the reputation of this coaching staff, I think, largely is very good around the league. I think people feel like, maybe Bill O'Brien's decision-making this season hasn't been quite as sharp in terms of game management as it has been in years past, but I still think that you put him head to head against a lot of other coaches in this league, and he's got an edge, and that staff has an edge. So it's easy to gripe with the results because they haven't been there this season, but there've been other factors as well, injuries especially.
Eric Edholm joining us from Yahoo Sports and the Shutdown Corner, and I guess following up on that, Eric, my question, I go back and forth with two ex-NFL guys, Keenan McCardell and Travis Johnson, who we have periodically on these shows, that believe that Bill O'Brien is completely safe, and I think based on what you said about game management and Brock Osweiler and the fact that he's supposedly a quarterback whisperer with all of his time in New England, but all the guys he's brought in from New England, like Hoyer, like Mallett, and then to your first point, which is I'm not sure how much he had to do with bringing Brock in, if it was him and Rick, if it was him, Rick, and the owner, but if he had his hand in that as well, is he going to be on the hot seat? I've said I link him up to Brock Osweiler now, whether he likes it or not. They know they got Brock for another year, so he'll probably survive one more. But I think that it would be a lot more scrutinized if they would fall back from that 9-7 and or not win the division and get in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I'm actually, just way back to the first part of what you said, I'm surprised you have Travis Johnson and he wasn't slinging the hot takes here. I thought he'd be the kind of guy who would line up the coaches and knock them down. I've known Trap Jay a little while, so.
Trap, but as you know, Trap doesn't have one Wii. He has like four or five Wii's, and if you're one of his ex-Wii's, then you get a little bit of a leeway.
Okay, that explains a lot right there, yeah. But I suspect he's fine. I really do. I understand the logic. I mean, it makes sense. And, obviously Mr. McNair is a man who wants results and I think wants them yesterday, not tomorrow or the day after. So I can understand that backdrop being maybe like a little bit of a rush deal. And you think about other owners around that age where – the Detroit Lions cleaned house. The Chicago Bears in the past couple of years have made a lot of big changes. Jerry Richardson, 80 years old, fired his two sons who are running the team. So, if you think about those parameters, yeah, we could maybe see a shocking change out of nowhere. But my suspicion is, not having inside information specific about this, I would guess that he's safe and he's back and that nobody can realistically expect, massive, massive improvements within a single year. Now, if next year we see the same kind of results, yeah, I'm right there with you.
Okay, Eric, so who is the next coach to be let go in the NFL, and will it happen before the end of the season?
That's a great question. That second part is a great question. I mean, I think, you know, if you had money in Vegas on Gus Bradley losing his job or the first coach to be fired, that's a bad beat, right? You know, you expected him to go first, and then Fisher goes, and they're like, oh, my goodness. So, yeah, I don't think Gus is long for Jacksonville. Unfortunately, he's a good dude, and, you know, he brings a lot of energy to his practices. He's, I think, well-liked. But I just don't know if the players are playing hard for him, if there's enough discipline. So I suspect there'll be a change there. And then you have a lot of teams where it's really gray. I think the teams with the two worst records, the Browns and the 49ers, are keeping their coaches. I think Hugh Jackson and Chip Kelly will be back. I wouldn't be shocked if they're coaching the Senior Bowl staff. So, you know, I really think there may be a, you know, we've heard Rex Ryan's name. You know, we've heard some of these teams a couple notches above. I think John Fox stays in Chicago, but, you know, it's hard to say. Some of these GMs or owners or people with that kind of power can wake up on the wrong side of the bed and make a decision. Or one little thing can set things off, or two horrible losses down the stretch. So like, this is all as things stand right now. I would say Bradley's in the most danger and in real peril, and everybody else is kind of on watch at this point.
So just to keep in the AFC South, thoughts on Chuck Pagano in that? Is he in that hot seat section, or is it lukewarm?
That's a good one, yeah. And I think, you know, I think both he and the GM are in a concerning spot. That loss Sunday obviously hurt them a lot, you know, and it probably hurt them, hurt Texans, you know, I mean, division records and everything. So, yeah, that one probably was beginning to be the end of their season. But is it the end of their time together? I don't know. I mean, they kind of brought them back into the room and agreed they let's give it another shot. He hasn't really worked any better than what we saw last year, maybe a tiny bit, but yeah, that's a tough one for me too. I feel like if they do make a change, it's probably going to be both of them.
Eric Edholm joining us from Yahoo Sports. A few more questions, Eric. Let's fly around the league a little bit and stay close to home, where, of course, Texans fans hate this topic, but we have to bring it up. The Cowboys, who have been like America's team again this year, but all of a sudden after a loss, the Boo Birds are already rumbling for a possible quarterback change. Your thoughts on everything going on up in Dallas, and if Dak's going to have to face that music from now through the rest of the season regardless?
Yeah, it's amazing how you can, you know, bookend, you know, you have two losses on the ends and 11 in the middle, and everybody's starting to panic a little bit. But, I mean, I suppose I understand why, right? No rookie quarterback's ever started a Super Bowl, and, you know, this is about when his college season would have ended, or, you know, not minus the bowl game, et cetera. So is he hitting some rookie wall? Or I don't know. I can't really say. I can say the last three games have shown a downward trend. But those are two pretty good defenses. The Giants have played really well lately. I didn't expect this quality of play out of them, but they've played well defensively. The Vikings, probably the first team to kind of beat the Cowboys' offensive line at the point of attack. We haven't seen that this season. So some different things are happening to kind of limit them offensively. I understand why Romo's name gets brought up, but my question is, if you had Kellen Moore back there, we probably wouldn't be talking about a switch. So I understand it's a rare circumstance where you have a potential Hall of Famer talk up, but I think Jason Garrett did a really good job this week of kind of touching most of that. If things get progressively worse, could we see a change? Yes. But my guess is right now they stick with him, try to... Because when they made the decision to back Dak Prescott, they did so with the caveat of, hey, if he struggles, we've got to be behind him and we've got to support him and not try to, you know, throw him under the bus.
All right, I got a couple quick ones for you. The first and foremost is a personal question that my partner's going to hate me for, but I just got to figure out your read on the Packers. They suddenly are tied, or not tied for first, but they've won three games. They've got their future in front of them. Obviously, Rodgers' health is a concern, but do you see them as a playoff team?
I think I do, and obviously they got some work to do here, and if they want to try to win that division, you know, you're talking about hoping for the Lions to drop one and then go into that week 17 and go in there and win. But, you know, they're all of a sudden kind of the dark horse Super Bowl team, I think, because of all the questions in the NFC, and heck, there's questions in the AFC too. So if their defense plays the way it has the last three games, there's no question they're in that group. But lack of depth at running back, Rodgers, now two injuries he's dealing with, hamstring and calf. Those are the concerns right there, or that the defense could revert to that, you know, that disaster of back-to-back 40-point games.
and wrapping it up because the Super Bowl's here in Houston. A lot of people had a lot of picks for the Super Bowl this year before the season that have fallen by the wayside, i.e. Carolina, Arizona, and others. Where do you see playing out if you were to call it right now?
I just wiped my brow because I thought you were going to ask me who I picked in the preseason. And normally,
well, why don't we do that too, Eric? Why don't we show your expertise?
I'll humor you guys. Yes. All right. I picked the Seattle Seahawks on the one half. That's not bad. That could still happen.
Not bad.
Right? I
mean,
not terrible. Yep. Okay. Yep. Yeah. I got to admit it. I actually picked the Cincinnati Bengals on the other half because I thought, you know, the AFC felt kind of wide open other than the Patriots. And I thought, you know, I could see this year of all years them falling off. So let's take a team that won a bunch of games last year, only had minimal losses in the offseason. Hey, they won 12 last year. They might as well be, you know, they're going to be pretty good again. So. Yeah, nice call.
At least they didn't have any loose cannons on the defensive end that would be hard to control.
Exactly. That one tiny factor that seems to haunt them every year. Yeah, no, if I had to guess right now, boy, I mean, Packers, Chiefs, like we're going old school here. I feel like.
Wow,
I feel like
Super Bowl II, right?
Like some random. Yeah, could just. I don't know. I feel like I'm almost. I don't want to be contrarian. I just feel like it's not going to be Dallas, New England. I don't know why. It just feels like one of those years where
I can tell you right now, you're welcome back anytime, Eric. Eric Edholm from Yahoo Sports, because you got my Packers involved. But, Eric, before we let you go, and we really do appreciate the time, give everybody a little bit of info on how to read your stuff and keep in contact with you.
Yeah, head over to Yahoo Sports. Check out the Shutdown Corner blog, everything NFL you could ever want. And I'll be down in Houston. I'll be down in Mobile for Senior Bowl stuff. And check me out on Twitter. ERIC_EDHOLM.
Thank you, my friend. We appreciate the time. We'll do it again soon.
All right, fellas. See
ya. Eric Edholm, Yahoo Sports. Good stuff right there for you people. And that's just one of three we have on the interview docket for the rest of the show. So stick with us. We've got plenty more show to go. And Jason, we appreciate your patience. We're going to get you in after the break talking about some Houston Rockets basketball. ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, that was good stuff with Eric Edholm. Nick, good get. Props to you.
I like Eric.
I don't ever want to hear from that dude again.
I like him a lot more based on his picks.
Packers thing, he's to never come on this show.
If he had used the term romosexual, I think Barry would boycott any more Eric Edholm.
I really would have.
Yep.
I don't think he would have done that, but yeah.
Oh, he's a good dude. And we got Kevin McHale coming up at 2 o'clock, so we got a full show of good stuff. You guys want questions for Coach McHale, he will be on board. He had some pretty interesting things to say about building the big threes in today's NBA as opposed to when he played back in the day. And see what I did there, Nick? A little flow like I was back in my other job. He, not a big fan of joining forces, i.e. the Heat and now the Cavs and teams like that. So I'm going to try and get him to kind of regurgitate some of that and some other things. And I also want to give you guys, because it's been going back and forth ever since we broke the story on Demo, some clarity on when a guy signs an offer sheet, what the match really means. And he can break that down, as well as the fact that the NBA just announced they got a new 7-year collective bargaining agreement, so they avoided any kind of lockout or strike. And that's good news for all basketball fans, whether you're a basketball fan after January or all year long here in Houston. You know you'll have basketball, especially with your team playing so well. On that note, Jason in Katy wants to get in on the show and talk a little Rockets. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Appreciate it.
Hey, a couple comments. Huge Rockets fan going back to the Olajuwon day, so I watched them religiously. Been watching all the games this year. One comment, I just wanted to see what you guys thought about going out and getting an additional perimeter defender to play a long series against a San Antonio, a Warrior-type matchup. Wanted to see what you guys thought about maybe going to get that extra defender, what I think they need. And then secondly, I just can't get over last night, the attendance. I know it was the Sacramento Kings, but what do you guys think? Why is Houston such a hard draw to fill the stadium there?
It's Wednesday, and it's December 14th.
Yeah.
These fans are not going to come out until it most people don't think basketball for whatever reason until it starts to warm up a little bit. And I don't know why that is. It's that stretch run. I think it'll slowly after Christmas, mid-January, going into February.
Watching some of the other teams, too. I mean, it's nothing like Houston. I mean, you got the package. I mean, you watch the teams, and there's people in the stands.
It's too bad, because I'll tell you what, it's a good time to go.
The problem is the Texans are relevant.
Yeah.
And as long as they're relevant in any way, shape, or form, that's what everyone's mind is focused on. They save their trips. They save everything for football.
So, but Jason, the flip side of that is it might be the right time to go because you can capitalize on no one else there. You can get decent seats, move down, you know, get to see it up close and personal. It's just crazy. And, you know, coming from up north where you are passionate about all of your teams and it's all the time. You know, for me, and having been so close to it for so long over there, I know it's a huge hot button within the organization. I know they want to solve it, and I know it's very hard to do. But that one, they're not going to discount tickets. They're not going to do the things to try and make sure that they get people that might not otherwise be able to afford them to get in there. And then the other, because they don't believe.
Why wouldn't they do that?
They don't believe in devalue. They think if you discount a ticket, you devalue the product. And I think that whether that's right or wrong, that's a thought. That's a thought process.
I think the team looks up and sees no one in the stands. I think that's a problem.
Oh, it bothers them.
It should put things to the side, get people in the stands. Even if it's, you know, a small discounted price, I think people would go and market it more for the games. The guys look up in the stands and see a quarter of the stands are filled. That's demoralizing for a player. It has to be to a point.
Well, it gets to them. I know that. And they notice it. But at the other, you know, the other side of the equation is the organization, I don't think that they see it the way we do, which is an empty seat as opposed to a seat you sold for $20 or whatever it is. It's still money in the pocket. I think that they feel like then you're devaluing the ticket prices and then it's going to be tough to get people to pay the full price. But the other thing that's more important, especially with this building in this town, is you have so many amenities. You have the red and white for four-star dining. You've got the clubs in the east and the west side. You've got the Lexus Lounge for the big hitters down low. And because so many people use the tickets from a business perspective and an entertainment perspective instead of a true fan perspective, once those tickets are purchased, and especially if they're part of a package, you know how it goes. The CEO at 5 o'clock on a game day looks in his drawer and goes, oh, man, I didn't give the tickets away. And then whoever he gives them to goes, I didn't pay for these, so if we can go and get a babysitter, we'll go. And if not, hey, no skin off our back because we didn't lose any money in the deal.
What do you guys think about an additional defender for the squad?
Barry can tell you what he thinks. I said, and I've been saying all along, I think their first priority should be one low post scorer that can also defend. But I really as long as Beverly and Ariza don't have to be counted on for offense and they can just spot up, I think they're fine because they concentrate on defense and they're a better defensive team because of it. But I worry about low post offense and defense for this team in the postseason.
Yeah, I'm not worried about perimeter defense. I think with, like you said, with Beverly and Ariza, I think they're okay there. When you see them break down is when they just don't get back. If there's one big gripe about this team, it's that sometimes they don't get back enough when there's a break. And that's part of it. I mean, there's some weak side help that sometimes doesn't come, but I think that'll come with the more that they play together and the chemistry that they build. But I think their big lacks on defense is just when the other team breaks on them. Cause they're not, I don't know if they're not used to that or what, but I see that being their biggest deficiency on defense.
Jace, thanks for the call. Don't be a stranger. We appreciate it. Still got plenty more show to go. Kevin McHale is warming up on deck and he will be getting rid of the donut on the bat and stepping into the box with us when we come back. ESPN 97.5. And pack your bags real good, baby, because you'll be gone for a
while. ESPN 97.5.